This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, Halloween Friday. I hope you are getting ready to have a real good time tonight. So we're going to finish on this Why Venezuela talk. We're going to touch on meat and cheese. We're going to touch on Democrats, TDS, all that and so much more in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's finish this up. Somebody is upset about the potential for strikes in Venezuela. And before I get to the why, I want to stress this, and this is actually for all the Republicans who are listening in Washington, D.C., because I know there is a huge signal lag between normal people and Republicans in D.C., because D.C. is such a bubble. They are so far behind what people are feeling because it is a bubble. So in general, right now, the American people feel squeezed. They feel priced out of normal life, priced out of vacation, priced out of homes, priced out of groceries, priced out of insurance. These insurance costs are freaking ridiculous. People feel priced out. People feel that there has been an invasion of immigrants in this country, illegal and legal. This is how American people feel. I don't care about your complaints. By the way, none of this stuff bothers me at all. Call and whine, or actually you can't call. Email and whine all you want. Don't care. This is how normal Americans feel all across the country. They feel their country is dirtier, more crime-ridden, more expensive. Americans are getting more and more dissatisfied with things on the home front. What does that mean? What that means is there is going to be far, far less patience with the American people for any foreign adventuring than there was when times were plentiful. If I, I have this radio show now, doing fine. If I decide I'm going to stop by the neighbor's house on the way home, they've been going through some hard times. He's been out of work for a couple months. And I decide I'm going to stop by on the way home and I'm going to drop him off. I'm going to drop them off as a family, $100 in Mexican food. I'm going to stop by a Mexican place and grab a bunch of Mexican food and drop them off a bunch of stuff tonight. Do you know what Ob would say when I got home? Good job, baby. That was the right thing to do. Now, you also know that I've had hard times in my life. Been out of work before, sometimes for extended periods where we don't have money to spend. And we're talking, you're digging through the pantry to get money or to eat. You've been there. Maybe you're there right now. Now, if in that moment I go buy $100 of Mexican food for the neighbor, that's probably going to prompt an uncomfortable conversation when I get home. Understandably, right? Hey, we can't feed ourselves. You just bought them $100 in Mexico. Why didn't you bring them leftovers? What are you doing? Right now, the American people, and maybe this is you, are having a hard time getting by. We've lost 20 to 25% of our dollar in the past 4 or 5 years. That's a drastic drop in the dollar. Just because inflation has come down, meaning it's not increasing the way it was, it hasn't returned to where it was pre-COVID. The American people, they don't want to hear about foreign adventures right now at all. And they definitely are not going to want to hear it if they see there is any cost at all. Meaning, okay, the Iran stuff is a great example. We had Israel over there beating the crap out of Iran. We launched a mission from here where we flew over there and dropped some big bombs on their underground nuclear facilities. We return home. There's no casualties. Yeah, you had to take, I think it was like a 37-hour flight, but no American died. No one was even injured. So you know what? The country woke up. Okay, that's kind of cool, but I dig it. Nope, it sounds good. Right now in Venezuela, what's happening? The Trump administration is nuking drug boats out of the water. There's no American. I realize there's some kookies on the left, but I don't count them as Americans. There's no real normal American who looks at that and says, oh, that sucks. We see that. You're like, okay, good riddance. That's less fentanyl in the country, couple fewer drug dealers on the planet. Life's okay. Right now, that's fine. Monday morning, we wake up and we had three Marines die in the jungles of Venezuela. You wake up on Monday morning and CNN has a microphone in the face of a mother who's weeping because her son just died in Venezuela. There's not going to be much of an appetite for that. Unless, and this is the big unless, because the question was about why Venezuela. Unless the Trump administration has a really, really great sell for the American people. And believe me when I tell you, you don't want to use the word sell when you're talking about people's lives, but that's what it is. If this Venezuelan thing does kick off, if the Brandon Weikerts are right, if the rumors are right, and we're talking ground strikes, potentially boots on the ground, and that results in Americans dying. We're not talking about 1,000. It doesn't have to be a lot. If that results in Americans dying, the Trump administration has got to understand there's going to be a short fuse with the American people on that, and you better have a cell ready. You better have something ready that you can bring to the American people immediately and say, this is why this had to happen. And I understand all the justifications around it. I understand that Russia and China, they are working closely with Venezuela on purpose, not only because they're in our backyard, but because they have the largest reserves of oil in the world. Russia, China, I understand all the reasoning. I understand the Venezuelan government is in of itself a drug cartel. It's called the Cartel of the Sun. If you listen to this show, you know that as well. Their government is a cartel. They're shipping fentanyl here. I understand all these reasons, but I am here to tell you, not on my behalf, on behalf of every email I get of the people I talk to out on the street who stop me and want to talk politics, I never hear. I have never once heard, we got to go get those Venezuelans. It's not that they're fans of Maduro. It's not that you're a fan of Maduro, or I am. I can't stand that dirty commie scumbag ruining that beautiful country that was prosperous. Now people are starving. I hate him. I hate him for the drugs. I hate him for working with Russia. I hate him for working with China. I'm all for the whole regime toppling. I have not one time. In fact, Chris, tell me if you deleted one. I really want to know. I bet we get 1,000 emails a day to the show. Have you ever gotten a single email celebrating a potential invasion of Venezuela? No, he just said no, without hesitation. Chris said they like the drug boats. Yep, everybody likes the drug boats. It's a quick internet video, no harm, no foul, no Americans dead. Yeah, let's nuke some drug boats. They like the drug boats. You like the drug boats. I like the drug boats. If, and I don't know that this is going to be the case, I want to stress this, but if the rumors are true, if we're talking boots on the ground, well, that's probably going to result in Americans dying. I don't think that can go on for very long, or this administration is going to see approval numbers drop quickly. We've seen this. There have been little glimpses of this repeatedly for the past few years. Russia, Ukraine, you saw people in America start to push back really quickly. Wait a minute, why are we getting involved? I don't care. And our politicians tried really hard to sell it. No, we have to stop it. Israel, Israel-Iran, Israel-Hamas, even though in general the country was all, yeah, Hamas sucks, I'd rather Israel wipe them out. At the very thought of us potentially going in, immediately there was pushback. Whoa, 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 what are we doing? Whoa, I don't care that much. Whoa, don't care. What is that? I don't want to deal with Ukraine. I don't want to deal with Israel. I don't want to deal with Venezuela. It has nothing to do with those individual countries. The American people don't want to hear about the neighbor's hard times anymore. Those times are past. And the Washington establishment, is always behind the feeling of the American people, meaning lagging behind. I don't mean they've gotten behind it. They're always lagging behind. And for the longest time, they could go do anything everywhere around the globe and really come off kind of unscathed for a variety of reasons, plus the global war on terror and how that turned out. The American people are going to chafe on foreign involvement a lot now. They are. We'll see where it goes from here. All right. We got to talk more Democrat stuff. We got to talk more cheese and crackers. We have to talk about pain. We have to talk about the pain that holds you back from doing what you love. What did you used to do when you were younger that you can't anymore because it hurts? Maybe it's a simple walk. Do you enjoy a good walk? Maybe it's more intense than that. Maybe you like to go kayaking. Maybe you used to do boxing classes, but you can't. Now your hands hurt. You can't. Your knee hurts. Your shoulder's been acting up. Your back. What if you could do it again, pain-free? Relief Factor is giving people their lives back. Not with drugs. It's 100% drug-free. Developed by doctors, but it is a supplement. You take it every day. You are in pain because of inflammation. Your body is trying to fight it. Just needs a little help. You want 3 weeks of it? That's all. Try it every day for 3 weeks. If it works for you, order more. If not, forget I ever told you about it. 1-800, the number 4, relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Another point Jewish producer Chris made during the break, and it's a true point, something we've talked about before on the show when it comes to the Venezuela stuff. There is not a great deal of mass sympathy for drug users. Now, me personally, and I don't know why this is, I have always had a heart for people who are in prison. I love that people in the joint listen to this show. I love it. I have always had a heart for people on drugs, people who struggle with addiction. And there are other people like that, but that is not something that is shared massively by society as a whole. Society as a whole, when they find out somebody died of a fentanyl overdose, you might get a brief, oh, that's sad, but you're not going to get a massive memorial in town. You're not going to get an outpouring of sympathy because there's always that, well, we did drugs kind of a thing. The sell for Venezuela has got to be more than fentanyl if Venezuela is going to get big, and it might not get big. Trump has a history of not letting it get big and out of hand, so let's give credit where credit's due. He conducts foreign policy pretty well. Hey, Jesse, when it comes to underrated culinary experiences of crackers, meat, and cheese, is there a certain brand of meat and cheese that stand above the others? Something like History Farms. I have my ice maker and robe already, so I'm really looking to step up my game when not fasting, of course. Fellow faster, Chris. Fellow faster. Well, there's a little debate about this in the Kelly household. Because for me, when I think of crackers, meat, and cheese, I generally just buy that tray that's in everybody's grocery store that's already got all the crackers, meat, and cheese chopped up. What is it, Hormel, Chris? You know what I'm talking about. You walk in the grocery store and it's the big platter sitting right there. I think it's Hormel. I don't know if I have that right, but it's there. Doesn't like that part. She said, it's not fresh. There's too many preservatives. If there's a party, I would just grab one of these trays and throw it out on the counter. Ob wants me to go to the deli, or she'll go herself, usually. She wants to go get, I want to go buy a little block of this cheese and cut it up, and then a block of this special fig jam, and we need the soppressata cedo or whatever the kinds of, can we just get some salami and some pepperoni, maybe a little prosciutto? That's fine. A prosciutto can get a little hard to swallow from time to time, if we're being honest, but a little prosciutto. Chris, yes, it can. Prosciutto, like, chokes you out. You know it's true. Oh, wait, you can't eat it. just know, Chris, it is delicious, but it's a lot to take down. I mean, it's a lot. It is a lot. Dude, I'm not Kamala Harris. I'm telling you. Anyway, it's a lot. But just some salami or pepperoni, you'll be fine. But Ob doesn't want to just do the Hormel tray. She wants to cut things up. Well, we have to make it nice. I think Hormel's nice. I don't know what's not nice about Hormel, but that's the way it is. Jesse, if the shutdown is still on, the commie Democrats are doing it on purpose so Trump looks bad, and the commies know it'll cause chaos in the streets. Here's what I suspect. We talked about this before, but this is what I suspect. I suspect that Democrats shut down the government because they really felt they had to give their rabid demonic base some sort of a win over Donald Trump. And they shut down the government because they anticipated that Republicans would do what Republicans always do, and that's grab their ankles for Democrats, give Democrats a little something. Sure, you can have a little more funding for this, or sure, you can have a little more funding for that. I'm sure that's what Democrats anticipated. And if Republicans had done that, every Democrat in the country would be sending out emails. Look what we did. We owned the Republic. We finally fought back. We got that. That's what they were doing. But if Republicans held strong, and I still can't believe this is happening, but it looks like Republicans are going to hold strong, it puts Democrats in an impossible situation because they're the ones who shut the country down. So it's your fault. Now you have to find a way out of it. If Republicans won't cave, if you played chicken and they're not swerving, you have to swerve or you're going to be hurt very badly. Tomorrow, 40 million people are going to have their welfare cut off. For Democrats, that's a problem. Well, about 39,999,000 of those people are Democrats. So for Democrats, that's a big, big problem. I suspect, you know, we have these elections coming up next week. New Jersey, Virginia, big elections. By the way, get your butt out there and vote and drag your friends out if you're listening in New Jersey or Virginia. I suspect after Tuesday, Democrats will open up the government. That's what I suspect. Chris, write that down. Maybe even Wednesday. Wednesday or Thursday of next week, they will have a vote and Democrats will vote to open up the government again. What are you laughing about, Chris? Chris, record it. Chris is already upset because he's worried I'm going to be right. He gets so upset. Instead of being happy for me, his hero, he gets upset about it because he says I'm obnoxious when I would never be. I don't want him to make it about me, Chris. What do we do about Dearborn, Michigan? And where to eat? And the Reichstag fire. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's get to some of these emails, shall we? Jesse, the company my wife works for got bought out by a company in Ireland. This new company is having her go to Boston next week for a meeting. Seeing as our anniversary is in 2 weeks, we decided to stay for the weekend. I immediately knew who to call, Jesse, the menu whisperer. We would love to get your suggestions on regional foods to eat and restaurant suggestions. I'm not a world traveler like you, would really appreciate your help. Thank you, my tiny-handed Bronco. That's not nice. Their names are Mark and Leslie. Happy anniversary to both of you. Now, here's what I will tell you. And actually, I gave this same advice to my sister, who just happened to visit Boston right after me, Chris, and Corey visited Boston. Chris, it was the North End, right? That was what it was called, the North End. Okay, I believe it's called the North End. I am not a Boston expert. I went one time, went and checked in to WRKO, which I dearly love, and got to check out Boston. Really liked Boston a lot. Really, really liked Boston. Shocked at how much I liked Boston. Very walkable. Make sure you and your dime go walking through Boston. Felt pretty safe. You know, obviously, you don't want to go to the bad parts of town, but very walkable. Great little town. Almost positive it's called the North End. Everyone in WRKO is screaming at me on the radio right now. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't live there. North End. It's, God forgive me for this, the Italian part of town. All right? It's the Italian part of town. Therefore, it is safe and the food is delicious. Okay? You will see what I mean when you get there. It's this big city, right? It's Boston and there's all kinds of cool stuff there. But it's Little Italy, essentially, and it's all Italian joints up and down this little neighborhood. I don't know how many. I'm guessing 5-6 blocks. I don't know. I'm not looking at a map right now. It's not enormous, but it's big enough you can stroll around it. Great little Italian joints run by Italians. Oh, I'm sure it's mobbed up to the max all throughout the place, and it's dynamite. And it's romantic. Ob wasn't there, so I had to romance myself. No, but Ob wasn't there, so I was on my own for it. But I immediately thought, I texted her. I said, we really should have been here together. This should have been our thing. It's a really good spot for an anniversary trip, especially when you can marry it with a work trip. There you go. Get to the North End. Chris, it's driving me crazy. I don't care that we're live on the radio. I have to look this up now. Boston, Massachusetts. I know this is completely unprofessional, but it is the North End, Chris. Thanks for finally doing something. You know, now that I'm already looking it up, and now Chris jumps in and says, yes, it's called the North End. You will see it. You can't miss it. It's on the map. Go to the North End, get dropped off, and walk around. Let your bride buy something and get some food. What, Chris? That's a very good point, Chris. Chris said he figured I wouldn't trust him and I would just assume that I was right. That's because that's always the case, Chris. This is called learned behavior, all right? Learned behavior. Jesse. Dearborn is the subject of this one. What needs to be done? They have taken hold. This piggybacks, I'm sure, off of the news from this morning, which we already discussed about the arrest of a couple dudes who were getting ready to commit acts of terror tonight, as a matter of fact, for Halloween. And, of course, they were in Dearborn. What needs to be done? Well, we've talked about this before when it comes to legal immigration, but let me use the analogy again because it is true. If there is a gang, there's a 10-person gang in my neighborhood. They are killers and drug dealers and thieves of the worst kind. It's a 10-person gang in my neighborhood. I prefer to live a life of peace. I don't have to hurt anybody anymore. So, what's the best thing? If I can't move out of the neighborhood, what is the best thing for me to do? Keep the doors locked? Windows locked? Make sure the gates are locked. Make sure the security system's on. Essentially, make sure you keep them out of the house. Keep them out of the house. Keep them out of the yard. You want to stay nonviolent? You don't want to hurt anybody anymore? You don't want to get your hands dirty? You got to keep them out of the house. But I take off for work. I leave the front door unlocked. I come home and find my family's tied up in the living room and all 10 gang members are in the house. Well, this is obviously not ideal. And one of the main reasons it's not ideal is all these dreams I had of nonviolence. I just want to chill. That option's gone now. Being nice, no longer an option. You left the door unlocked. They came on in. Now you're going to have to get them out. For decades, the United States of America, this isn't just Dearborn, the United States of America has thrown open its doors to hordes and hordes of foreigners and allowed them to pour in to this country. We allowed them to pour in at such levels they actually can take over entire communities at will. At will. That we have communities, in fact, major cities in this country that elect representatives from the foreign country we allowed in. Think about how crazy that is. That's where we're at. Well, now our nice options are done. That does not mean we have to commit any vigilante acts of violence or anything insane like that. I'm not saying that. But now it's going to involve denaturalization and deportation if you want to fix it. And as soon as you get to that point with normal people, with Norm and Norma, they start to wince. I know that you're probably okay with it. Or at least, even if you're uncomfortable with it, you understand the necessity of it. But that's a hard sell to normies out there. It's easy to sell to the normie, hey, this gang rapist from Brazil, should we arrest and deport him? Oh, yeah, of course. Now you go to that same person and say, well, you see, we have the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day in an American city. Do you think we should be stripping people of their citizenship and sending them back to their old country? Now Norm and Norma are going to go, oh, what are you, some kind of barbarian? Too far. So right now there's nothing to be done until Norm and Norma wake up. Right now you deport every illegal you can get your hands on. You try to stop the flow of, quote, legal immigrants pouring into this country, taking American jobs, taking up root here. Deport the illegals. Stop this legal immigration en masse. And once we get through those two steps, then maybe we can get to the point where we can finally start deporting people we allowed to come here and permanently stay. But we are, frankly, a million miles away from that. So you're just going to have to watch Dearborn from afar and pray you don't wake up to terrible news, which apparently we almost woke up to, because that's, look, when these foreign terror organizations, the Al-Qaedas, the ISISs, where are they going to recruit? Where are they going to find their cells? Where are those cells going to find safe haven to plan and hide? That's where they're going to go. That's how it works. It's crappy, but that's what happens when you elect a lot of James Lankfords and a lot of Democrats. That's what happens. If we had all these Republicans on chalk, it wouldn't be a problem. Do you understand that it's possible to turn even someone like James Lankford into someone like you or someone like me? You know, all it takes is testosterone. That's the real difference. Maybe you're thinking, well, it's because he's a ginger. That's only part right. He doesn't have any testosterone. That's why he's constantly grabbing his ankles for the communists whenever they are tearing through this country. We have too many Republicans like that, and this ties directly back to the testosterone crisis we have in America. We've lost 50% of our testosterone in 50 years. James Lankford's lost 100%. Let's let a male vitality stack from chalk turn that around so we can be strong, so we can be full of energy, focus. We can not only see what needs to be done, we have the energy to do it. Chalk, using natural herbal supplements, will make your entire life better. At work, at home, all the time. 4 years, or almost 4 years. I don't know where I'm at. 4 years, I would say, I've been on a male vitality stack from chalk. I'm never stopping. I feel so good. CHOQ. Go get a subscription. Ladies, they have female vitality stacks for you. It's a little different. Chuck.com/Jesse. Chuck.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before I check out of here and go hand out full-size candy bars to the kids on a Halloween night. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, I watch your show on YouTube the morning after you do your show on the radio. What's up with you occasionally, that means every now and then, stop explaining words to me, lifting your arms over your head and swinging them like a spider monkey? Were you traumatized as a child at the zoo? His name is Derek. I'm not swinging them like a spider monkey. That move you see me do on occasion, if you watch the YouTube version of the show. Chris, did they put the whole show on YouTube? The whole show's on YouTube? That's wild. Who did that? Is that you? Does that? You do that? You and Corey? Thanks. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. That is the signal. I get a signal on my phone. Well, a signal. I get a notification on my phone if we've ordered food, like if we get a pizza, and they'll text you or something that they're close. That's the hand signal I give the fellas to go down and get the food because I'm live doing award-winning radio, even though it's never won any awards. That's the signal for them. They have to go down and get our food. It's not a spider monkey. It's a simple food signal. Gosh, don't make too much of it. Chris, now everyone's going to be looking at the signal. Dang it. You are correct about January 6th being used as an excuse to prosecute Democratic opposition. In 1993, the Nazis burned down the Reichstag and blamed it on the communists. This led to the passage of the Reichstag fire decree, which suspended civil liberties. Well, to be fair, if we're going to be fair, not that we need to focus on being fair to the Nazis, but if we're being fair, it's not 100% proven that the Reichstag fire was done by the Nazis. What is 100% proven, and remember, their Reichstag was their Congress. What is proven is the Nazis used the Reichstag fire as justification to go slaughter all their political opposition in the country. And it is, what are you shaking your head at, Chris? What? And it is suspected that the Nazis did it themselves. They caught some communist, almost seems like a patsy type, but you never look. You how who are you gonna believe? How are you gonna believe the Nazis? Are you gonna believe the communists? Are you gonna believe the Nazis? All these people are filthy liars. You're not gonna believe any of these people. We're not going to know whether or not it was a card-carrying Nazi who torched the Reichstag. But what we do know is, after it burned, it was really, really good for the Nazis because they used that as the, hey, we got a dangerous situation here. We have terrorists in our midst. We have no choice but to hunt down these terrorists, exactly like Democrats did after January 6th. Whether or not it was a government operation, as I believe, or not, is inconsequential. Democrats in the government used January 6th as an opportunity to do what they'd always wanted to do, treat their Republican opponents like terrorists, wiretap their phones, round up and arrest as many of them as humanly possible. They were able to justify every single thing. And to this day, they all tie it back to January 6th. Well, I mean, we had no choice. There was an insurrection. We had no choice. That's why they loved it so much. So insanely evil and obvious. But of course, your liberal Aunt Peggy can't see it that way. She can't. But part of that, honestly, part of the problem with your liberal Aunt Peggy, she's not sleeping good enough. She's full of anxiety and stress because she's not getting 7-8 hours of sleep a night. If she had some cozy earth sheets, some bamboo sheets, maybe she would become sane. Maybe you don't sleep that well. Have you considered buying just one set of Cozy Earth sheets? Maybe get yourself a robe. They have ladies' robes, men's robes. Of course, you know, I'm a robe guy. I would know. You want some face creams, ladies? Got some face creams? Or, look, if you're Lindsey Graham, they got face creams. Everywhere pants. Mega Black Friday sale going on right now. Possibly a good time to go check in and save some cash. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Save money, up to 40% off. CozyEarth.com, promo code Jesse. Jesse, my wife Mary and I are big fans. I actually think I hear you talking in my house more than me. I would like to hear your opinion as to the reason why our government isn't working to get a budget approved. They're too scared. They don't want a budget approved because in order to approve a budget, you have to lay your priorities out. You have to go to the American people and you have to say, hey, we're going to fund this and we're not going to fund that. We're going to fund this and we're going to cut that. We're going to fund this and we're going to cut that. That's what a budget is, right? Isn't that the way the budget works in your house? Hey, what's our eating out budget? Sorry, kids. Red Lobster is going to have to be once every 3 weeks instead of once a week. We've had to cut back on this. And no one likes to be that guy. No, we can't go out for ice cream after church. We're cutting that out of the budget. That's the exact reason these politicians don't want to sit down with a budget, because it would force them to show an ounce of courage in front of the American people and say, we don't have money for this. We don't have money for that. We don't have money for this. We have to cut that. So instead, they're going to fall back on. I am convinced of this. I pray to God I'm wrong. I am convinced that when they bury me, I'll probably live to my 60s, I would guess. When they bury me, they will still be passing the same continuing resolution when they bury me. I'm convinced of it. It's insane that that is now our preferred outcome. We're pretending that. We won't even pass a CR. CRs suck. We shouldn't be passing a CR. That's not a thing that we should be doing. You dorks should be sitting down, coming up with a realistic budget for a country that's $38 trillion in debt and making hard decisions and then bringing those hard decisions to the American people come what may. But politicians don't ever want to be the bad guy. They certainly don't ever want to show courage of any kind. So instead, this is what we get. Jesse, my wife and I just moved from Minneapolis to Des Moines, Iowa. Been here less than 12 hours, and both of us are already more than happy and impressed. Thanks for the advice to move to a red state if possible. We are excited for the future. His name is Steve. Steve, congratulations to you and your bride. Just wanted to tell you another little tale before we check out here for a little Halloween weekend. There is a better, more pleasant, safer, more affordable life for you waiting just outside of that blue hellhole you reside in. If you can, pack it up, get out, and watch it burn on the way out of town. Go enjoy your Halloween. We will talk again on Monday. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.